I'm hoping that you will learn a lot about the Bible tonight. Now, how can you take the topic of the Word of God and spend about 40 minutes on it and do it justice? Well, we're going to go through very quickly and pretty shallow, if I can say that. That's just not a really great way to describe a sermon right before you preach it. But let's say it this way. Kind of a survey. How about that? A survey. Instead of going real deep into all the lessons, I want to give you an overview. I want you to understand why it is such an amazing thing, awesome thing that we have this right here, the Word of God. So you've got a handout tonight. We've got a lot of Bible verses to look at tonight, and I just hope this will be helpful for you. So this Bible verse we're starting with tonight, the Bible says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, all Scripture, that is the entire Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Bible tells us how to get right. The Bible tells us how to, stay right. The Bible tells us how to keep from not being right anymore. I forgot the third one. I didn't write it down. Let me give you some thoughts about the Word of God. The Bible is a collection of 66 books. The Bible contains the answers to life's three most important questions. You may not know what those three most important questions are, but if you think about it, they really are the most important questions. I'm going to give them to you very quickly. The first most important question is this: where did I come from? Life's three most important questions. Where did I come from? Can you guess what the second most important question is? Why am I here? Why am I here? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And I think I heard it from over here. Where am I going? If you can get the answer to those three questions, you have got things figured out. Because if you know where you came from, and you know why you're here, and you know where you're going, that pretty much sums it up. Now, if you mess one of those up, you're in trouble. If you mess up the where I came from, and you think that you accidentally evolved from a monkey or from a germ or whatever it was, you're gonna be off, because the Bible says God created the heaven and the earth. If you get the second question wrong, why am I here? You're going to live your life for the entirely wrong purpose. You might live your life for yourself, or you might live your life for, I don't know, pleasure or for fun or for whatever it is. But you are here for God. God created you to please Him, and we are created for His purpose. And if you get the last one wrong, well, you're really in trouble. Where am I going? The Bible tells us where you are going, and the Bible tells us how to get there, and the Bible tells us how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. So the answer to life's three most important questions, this outline is divided into lots of questions. First question is this: who wrote the Bible? Well, God wrote the Bible, but He used human instruments or human tools to record His works. We read one verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration means that God breathed His words to the writers, and they wrote the exact words that God wanted them to write. So whenever Moses was supposed to write, we've got a great example of that. God actually came to Moses and said to Moses, write these words down. Daniel, God came to Daniel, said, write these words down. He actually said, seal them up. You're not going to even understand them. Just write them down. Other people, God didn't say the exact words or tell them to write the exact words, but God used them to write the words that He wanted them written down. The 66 books of the Bible are the words that God wants us to have. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, I think you have this in your notes. The Bible says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Not just it was man's idea, but it was God's idea, and these are God's very words. Who wrote the Bible? Well, God wrote the Bible using humans to do it. Now, let's answer this quick question. When was the Bible written? Now, you probably know some of these answers, but here's what we're doing. We are preparing as a church to be able to take a new convert and teach them these very same things that we're learning. So even if it's something that you know already, this is going to be a great review and a motivation for you to be able to take this very simple discipleship book that's only 8 pages long. No, actually 13 pages, because there's some places for notes and memory verses. Be able to take this and teach somebody else. And if you can get this and you can learn it, it's going to be very, very helpful for you. So when was the Bible written? This is an amazing thing. God used about 40 different people, and he took about 1,600 years, a time span of that long, to write the Bible. Now I want you to consider something. What if we were to take 40 people, a little bit less than is in here tonight, but let's just go ahead and say, let's take everybody that's in this room here tonight. And if we were all to get a scratch book and a pen and start writing, and we were all to write the history of the United States, just to the very best of our ability, how many times do you think we would contradict each other? I just want you to consider that. I might write something different than somebody else writes, and because I remembered a fact wrong. Now, what if we were to take all of us in this room and we were to spread us out into different rooms, and we're supposed to write this history at the same time without looking at each other's notes and without even being able to talk to each other, and then put all of those parts into a book and for it to be able to make sense and not contradict? And then what would happen? If we took all of us in here tonight and we were challenged not only to write the history of the United States, but the future of our country, and you're supposed to tell me what's going to happen over the next 200, 300, 400 years of our country, write it down, put it all in a book, and let's see if it works together. Now, we might be able to get kind of close on the history, but think about it. If we're all in different rooms, and what if we were spread out? We can't really do this one. We were spread out over 1,000 years separating us. I mean, think about how different things were 1,000 years ago. They didn't even have pens, and maybe they had paper. I don't know. The Chinese invented fireworks and paper, I think, about the same time, because I think they invented everything about the same time. That's what everybody tells me. But there's lots of... We didn't have electricity 1,000 years ago. I mean, that's before Columbus discovered the world, right? And that's before Mount Everest was called Mount Everest. I mean, you just got to think about this stuff. Over 1,600 years, God used 40 different people to write the different parts of this book. And the amazing thing is they all work together. There aren't contradictions. Now, somebody might say there's a contradiction here, a contradiction there. As you study that and as you work into those contradictions, you realize those aren't contradictions. It's maybe somebody's misunderstanding. But for 40 people over 1,600 years to write this all down and it works together, it is an amazing miracle of God. Let me give you some Bible verses and help you understand when the Bible was written. First of all, you need to realize that the Word of God existed in heaven before the world began. Psalm 119, verse number 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, I want you to think about this word, forever. Actually, in our Bible, it's two words, forever. Think about these words. When does forever start? It doesn't. When does forever end? It doesn't. That means God's word is eternal. That means the very words that we have been since the beginning of time and before that. That's hard to wrap your mind around. That's hard to understand these pages weren't here because paper hadn't been invented yet. And this, I don't even know if it's real leather. It wasn't here yet because that cow hadn't been born yet. But before the beginning of time, the words of God had already been written down. I'm going to show you a couple of verses, and it's going to, if you haven't seen this before, it's just going to blow your mind. You're going to say, wow, that is an amazing thing that I didn't realize. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You need to realize this. Before the pages, before the words were ever written down on whatever it was, animal skins or parchment or scrolls, before they're ever written down, they were already written in heaven. I'm going to show you a couple of verses to help you understand that. But when you realize that about your Bible, you're going to realize that it really doesn't matter what's going on around us. What we have is a timeless instruction book. It's good for 2,000 years ago. It's good for now. It's good for forever into the future. The Word of God existed in heaven before the world began. And I want you to understand this. The Word of God is eternal and will never fade away. Matthew 24:35, the Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." not just the thoughts, you need to understand this, not just the ideas of the Scripture, but the very words. Some people have taken, we mentioned different translations last week, some people have taken the words of God and summarized them and put them in their own words and made a different translation, but that is not what God wants us to do, because God has given us every single word, and every word is pure. We'll see that. And every word was written, and we need to understand we have an every word Bible. We need to keep an every word Bible. If you have a Bible that's just a dynamic equivalent translation like the NIV, I want you to consider, you may want to consider an every word Bible, because every word of God is important to us. I want you to look at Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. This is an amazing verse, and I want you to realize that God's word has been written down in heaven, and this is during the writing of part of the Old Testament. Before any of the New Testament, before all of the Old Testament was finished, God's word had already been written, and an angel tells that to Daniel. So Daniel chapter 10, and here's verse number 21. You've got this story. Daniel's praying, and he's gonna. Well, I just want to read this to you. Daniel chapter 10, verse. I'm gonna read 19. I'm also gonna read. I'll read 19 through 21. This angel appears to him. Then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." But he's talking about the spiritual battle, and this angel's talking to him about this, the answer to his prayer. You're going to have to just take time to read the rest of this on your own. But in verse 21, I want you to see what he says. "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth." So this angel is telling Daniel what's going to be happening in the future. And what he is saying is, "I'm going to show you what is already written in the Scripture about what's going to happen in the future." If you could just realize, if you could just trust, when God says this Word of God, the Bible, the Scripture that we have is eternal. It's been written already. It was written before God actually gave it to people to put on paper. It will change the way you look at your Bible. When was the Bible written? Well, it's existed in heaven before the world began, but God used 40 people over a span of about 1,600 years to actually give it to man. Now, here's a great question. What can the Bible do for me? What can the Bible do for me? First of all, you've got to realize this. The Bible doesn't contain everything that God knows, but it does contain everything that He wants us to know. Now, think about that for a moment. God knows so much more than He gave us. He knows physics. He knows chemistry. He knows the hardest math you can ever imagine. He's the one that invented it, and He made the laws of the universe to go by all of those different rules, those sciences. But He didn't write it all down here. He gave us everything that He wants us to know, but it's not everything that He knows. The Bible, what can it do for me? First of all, it can show me how to get to heaven from here. On our tracts, our Students Succeeding Together brochure, it says, "How to Get to Heaven from UNM." And that's, I think, fitting. And I know it's been used, and every state of the union probably has "How to Get to Texas from their state." There's probably how to get to Texas from their state. How to get to heaven. Why would we want to go to Texas? Anyway, this is the Holy Land, okay. How to get to heaven from there. There's how to get to heaven from jail. There's how to get to heaven from school. You can get to heaven from anywhere you are, really, because it's a spiritual transaction that happens. But the Bible shows me how to get to heaven from here. 2 Timothy 3:15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The Scriptures can teach you how to be saved. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In the Bible, we have instructions how to get to heaven. And that may not seem like the most important thing to you at this moment, but there will be a moment in your life when that is the most important thing. That'll be the only thing that matters, is where am I going to be when this life is over? And the Bible tells us how we can get to heaven. What can the Bible do for me? It can show me how to get to heaven from here. It shows me how to live after I know I'm going to heaven. John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to be going to heaven, but isn't it a wonderful thing that you can live a life pleasing to God as you are on your way to heaven? What can the Bible do for me? It gives me spiritual understanding. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. The Bible gives me spiritual understanding. You're more than just a body. You are a spirit. There is a spiritual world. There's a spiritual realm. There's spiritual warfare all around us. You need spiritual understanding, and the Bible can give that to you. It shows me what is right. All Scripture, that's the one I was messing up. It tells us what's right, tells us how to get right, and tells us how to stay right. I think I got it right that time, right? Okay, so let's move on. 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible, the Word of God, shows me what is right. And it changes me. What can the Bible do for me? This Word of God that we have is so powerful. In fact, you know the verse. It's in Hebrews. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it goes on to tell how it can tell the difference in our motives, dividing between the joints, the marrow, and the thoughts and intentions. I don't know if the intention is the right word. Of the heart. It changes me. Isaiah 55:10, the Bible says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, just like the water comes down and changes the earth. If there's no water, we don't have anything growing. But when the water comes down, then you have plants and it makes a difference. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. In Psalm 19, verse 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It changes me. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It changes me. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. One man that we don't know who said this, but I love the statement. It's a long one, but he must have been a preacher because he liked to talk. He said this: this book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. This Bible that we hold today, it changes us. So why should I read the Bible? Let me give you some thoughts quickly. Why should I read the Bible? First of all, the Word of God will increase my faith. I need more faith. You need more faith. Whenever the challenges of life come, we need more faith to be able to take those challenges and do what God wants to do in the midst of those challenges. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Reading the Word of God or hearing the Word of God will increase your faith. I gave an example this morning of, and I've shared it, it was in my Sunday school class, of how God increased my faith by answering a prayer whenever I was riding my bike to soccer and the dog stepped on the thorn and didn't eat me. And God increased my faith by answering a prayer. Did you know God also increases your faith by getting in the Word of God? As I have just read through King Saul and King David and King, Solomon and then Rehoboam and then The other kings are, I've seen God work, and I've been learning, and I'm telling you, my faith is increasing as I read the Word of God. Why should I read the Bible? The words of God are spiritual food. The words of God are spiritual food. You're more than a body. We said that already. So if you are more than a body, and you are a soul and spirit, you need to be able to feed your spirit. If you were to ignore your emotions, for example, emotions are more of a real thing. You can be happy, you can be sad, you can be frustrated, you can be depressed, whatever. If you ignore those and don't nourish yourself emotionally, you can become a wreck. You understand that, but you realize the same thing is true spiritually. You are a spiritual being, and if you don't eat spiritual food, you can't touch spiritual food, and it doesn't look like Twinkies. But if you don't eat spiritual food, you're going to wither away. You're going to be unhealthy spiritually. Well, the Bible says that the Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The words of God are spiritual food. God's Word, why should I read the Bible? God's Word gives me examples by which to live. This is a great point. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the Bible says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. We would say examples nowadays. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, if you think about the Bible, think about some of the examples in the Bible. I mentioned some of them, David, Saul, and some of the kings there. Help me out here. Let's talk just for a moment, and we're going to participate. Good examples in the Bible. Help me out. Who's got a good example? What person is a good example of the Bible? Mary, Joseph, Liz, Daniel, Ruth. I like that one particularly. Marlene. Esther, good example, yes. Abigail? Mary, yeah. Rosario, John. These are great examples in the Bible. And as you read their stories, it's been so fun with our youngest Jonathan. He's grown up around stories. Buzz Lightyear, Star Command, right? Superman, Batman, whatever it is. And whenever you're little, you think all stories are real, all right? I remember we were at my in-law's house, the Reed's house. Jonathan was wearing a Superman cape, and he's trying to jump off of high stuff, and he's got that second story there. He thought it was real. We had to, wait a minute, that's not real. Here's what's been amazing. We've got some Bible stories out. David and Goliath, Jonah and the whale. There's a couple other ones. The disciples and how they went fishing, and Jesus said, cast it on the other side, and they caught all these fish. He started reading those, and they're starting to click with him. And he's starting to like those stories. Read me David and Goliath. What an awesome story. And we had this talk just yesterday, and I had to help him understand. Those are real, but Buzz Lightyear isn't real. And there's a point in your life where you got to realize there's a lot of stuff that this world throws at us that's not real. So many of the movies that we watch now, they're fake, but they make them look so real. I mean, the dinosaurs look like they could eat you, and they look so real. None of that's real, but these stories in the Word of God are true. Peter walking on the water is a true story. Jesus coming back. Did I hurt somebody's feelings? All right. It's like saying Santa Claus isn't real. I just destroyed some kid. All right. Jesus coming back to life after 3 days. Listen, that is real. The feeding of the 5,000, these are real. So when you see these stories, these are great examples. Some of the people had to make pretty tough decisions. Old Testament, the Old Testament just loaded with all these stories. Sometimes we have good examples in there. Sometimes there's bad examples to learn from. I was teasing Brother Dye this morning. I said, you know, everybody can do something, Brother Dye. Some of us just can be a bad example and just teasing in there. But every story, you know, that's one proof that the Bible is real. I mean, in truth, think about it. If I was trying to get you to believe what I was writing here, I wouldn't put all the bad stuff in about these people. I wouldn't write about David's great sin. I would put the truth in. or I would put the best in, not the truth. If I was the Apostle Paul and I was writing, I wouldn't tell you that I'm struggling between these two things, this flesh and the spirit and the things that I want to do, I don't do, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And just helping us understand these examples, what a great reason to read the Bible. Let me give you another reason. Why should I read the Bible? It gives me knowledge, wisdom, comfort, and hope. Let me give you one verse, Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I'm going to give you these quickly. What should be my relationship with the Word of God? First of all, I should love it. Psalm 119:97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Develop a relationship with the Word of God so that you love it. I should read it. I should study it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Interestingly enough, in a lot of the newer translations of the Bible, this word study is taken out. And this is the only command in Scripture that we have to study the word of God. Stay with it. Study the word of God. What should my relationship be with the Bible? I should meditate on it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible you get through. It matters how much of the Bible gets through you. Meditate on the Word of God. How should I relate to the Bible? I should obey it as we preach this morning. Deuteronomy 13:4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. And ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. There's a lot to give you tonight. I've got one more section, one more question. I'm going to give it to you quick. Can I trust my Bible? Can I trust my Bible? Can you trust the Word of God? Here's how I started Sunday school class this morning. Can God tell a lie? No. It's actually even written in the Scripture. God that cannot lie. Can I trust my Bible? Yes. The Word of God is inspired by God. We already read the verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I can trust my Bible because God inspired it. The very words that are in this Bible right here are inspired by God. That means every word is given by God, the exact word. Can I trust my Bible? Yes, because the Word of God is pure. Proverbs 30:5, the Bible says every word of God is pure. Psalm 119:140. The Bible says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Why are we giving you these? Why are we talking about this? I want you to be able to tell somebody else why you believe the word of God is pure. And I want you to have those verses right there, right in front of you. Can I trust my Bible? Yes. God promises not only that he inspired it, but He promises to preserve His words to all generations. Remember this thought. The God that is powerful enough to inspire His Word is powerful enough to preserve His Word. Both are amazing miracles. The miracle of inspiration is an amazing miracle. And the miracle of preservation, the fact that so many people have tried for so many thousands of years to destroy the Word of God, to destroy the Scriptures, and they just can't do it. The Bible has survived attacks from every side for thousands of years, yet it still stands. Psalm 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. How long does it say that the Bible is going to be preserved? Forever. We're not going to ever have a point where we don't have the Word of God. What a great thought. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold them fast. God will preserve them. Let's hold them fast. And lastly, can I trust my Bible? Yes. And this is an amazing, compelling fact, because its prophecies have been fulfilled throughout history. There's no other book that can tell the future and be right with exact accuracy. The Bible has done it in amazing ways. I'm not a statistician. I don't even understand probability. Others do, but one statistician, I can hardly say the word, One statistician said that the probability of Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies written about him was like filling the state of Texas with golf balls 3 feet deep and having someone hide one colored ball somewhere in the middle and then blindfolding you and sending you out there and you reaching down and pulling out the one colored golf ball out of all of those billions and trillions of golf balls. The probability of Jesus fulfilling every prophecy like it was given. I love this statement. It's in a song. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's the rock of salvation on which I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, but now it keeps me from sin. Listen, we've got an amazing book. We've got an amazing book. Don't ignore it. Spend time in it. Get to know it. And realize it's not just a story. It's the very words of God that have been in heaven since before time began. And God will preserve them till the end of time. And He loves you so much that He gave it to you. That's incredible. Father, I pray that You would change our hearts about Your book. I pray that You'd give us a desire to read it and get to know it, to study it, so that we can show ourselves approved to You. Lord, this book is so powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray that You would help it to become part of our lives. Thank You for it. Thank You for inspiring it. Thank You for preserving it. Thank You for giving it to us. Now, Lord, I pray that You would help us to have a part in sharing this amazing book with the rest of this world. So many people don't read it. So many people don't know the stories that it contains, the amazing gospel. Lord, there's people in this world that have never even seen one. People in this world that are dying to get one. And we have one right here. Lord, we're so thankful for the Word of God, the Bible.